If in the 1700s, 99.99% of all people on Earth were illiterate, could not read or write, how is it that they could have read the Constitution, be a part of the Constitution, been a part of the voting process, especially if they were all indentured servants who had no land and so had no voting rights? So, yeah. You know, it's an incredible notion to think, you know, and Bert, my personal opinion is that the reason they wanted to get schools and to make public education was literally to train us in this common, what they call vulgar, massive, illiterate language.
Yes.
So that we can never figure out, and then we think we're all smart, yeah, and then we can never figure out that their language is quite the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, I have read history books when they say, they try to say, oh, how educated the people were back then, you know, during the time of the Declaration of Independence, because of this, and because then they try to give all this BS foundation. Yeah, the people who put together the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, yeah, they were all very educated men. But that's it. The majority of the people were extremely ignorant. That's why they were able to get away with what they did. People need to realize that if the Declaration of Independence, and let's just go with the myth, if the Declaration of Independence was really for the people, and the Articles of Confederation was really put together by the regular people, then that would mean that the U.S. Constitution was a spit in the face to all those people who put together the Articles of Confederation. So how could you have a revolution immediately after another revolution and get away with it? That's what the Constitution symbolizes. A revolution. They took an existing supposed document that was approved by the so-called people, and they wiped their butt with it and created a new one.
Well, see, and this is where I think the notion of the de gratia, de jure, and de facto, because I think that they had to first start with the de jure. There's no de facto without de jure. De facto sits on top of de jure. And before you could have de jure, you have to have de gratia, which is by grace or favor of God. Okay? De jure then is by law, and then de facto is by force. So it's like it happened in sort of a that order, you know, by the grace of God, which is, by the way, the King of England, we create the colonies, and then we have the de jure law of God, the, you know, laws of nature, and then we put the de facto on top of it. It's as if all three have existed since the beginning.
Exactly. So once people begin to see that the so-called United States is nothing more than a business, then whenever they're talking about religion and whenever they're talking about God, they cannot possibly be talking about the God that you think it is. They're talking about the creator of what? Of regulations. The creator of what? Of corporate charters. He who holds the ultimate power to create and decreate a corporation. That's the God that they're talking about.
Yeah, well, how do you... I think the problem, Brett, is that most people are in a staunch position, and it's always been portrayed that way, and all the debates are founded that way so that you never get to a middle ground. And so you either have the I believe in gods or the I don't believe in gods, and there's never anything, you know, there's no other possible way to look at it. There's either a God or no God, right? And so in that respect, they're able to come in and be the middle ground, because no one ever sees the middle. They only see the right or the left. So they're able to say, well, hey, let's keep them fighting over whether there even is a God, and we'll just sneak right in there and be their God without them even realizing it.
Yes. And you know, when you, I mean, a lot of these things are becoming, and I know this is our difficult concepts for people to absorb, because, you know, I'm still wrapping my brain around this whole concept is really difficult to accept. But once you get over the hurdle of seeing the reality of what it is, a whole new world opens up to you. You suddenly see a new horizon.
Yeah, yeah, and it even brings hope. Oh my golly, I hate that word, but it does bring a little bit of hope. Let's go back to it. Let me just take out the show by these quotes here. These are from the Bible, by the way. Woe unto you lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not ye yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. So, I mean, really, we could say this about ourselves. We should be saying this. Woe unto you, you idiots, talking to ourselves because we're acting as our own attorneys. Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with your own fingers. What does that mean? Let's keep going. But woe unto you, scribes, which means experts or writers of the law, and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering in. That's talking about the kingdom of God on earth, folks. That's not talking about an afterlife. That's saying that the lawyers have tricked us into entering the artificial system of the devil, if you will, and so we're in hell. We can't enter into the utopia of nature and God because we're stuck in the artifice. One more. This is the most important one, folks. This complements what I just said. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth within you? If any man defile the temple of God, in other words, accept personhood, which the Bible tells you not, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. That's all I got to say, Bert.
Yeah, well, couldn't have said it better there.
You want heaven on earth, you better start manifesting God. You better start manifesting the Bible. Hallelujah! We'll see you next week, man. Take care.
All right.